Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders.
Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually.
Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels, and the judgments uttered by his mouth. He is the Lord our God.
And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying,
Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Wow, it's good to be able to sing again and speak and talk. I can't imagine not singing. I just can't do it, folks. And sitting back here the last two Sundays in the choir and having to squeak out something and whatever, it just drove me crazy because the note was there and the word was there, but it was right here. It just never got past my throat. But, you know, it's fun to sing. It just blows me away. I tell you what. Our grateful praise. That's what this morning's all about. And that's what it means to praise the Lord and to be thankful to Him like never before. It's a service of music. It's a service of the spoken word. It'll be a different type service, but one I hope when you leave here in just a few minutes, we will come together at the Lord's Supper at the table of our Lord as believers gather. The greatest response to ever say thank you to Jesus is through this supper. Did you understand that? It's a little word called Eucharistos. It's a Greek word that means to give thanks. And that's what we come to do this morning. We come to listen, to pray. The choir will be leading us. Our deacons will be serving us as we come to the final part of this service, which is the most important. And that's when we come to the table of our Lord. What greater expression of thank you to sovereign God, folks, than that of the table, of being around the table? Because the Lord said, you do this how long? Forever until He, what? Comes. And you know how I feel about that. We're on the edge of the edge. And let me tell you, wow, isn't it good to be in the house of God? Thank God for the rain. We've got water outside. It's warm and comfortable in here. And I thank you for being here. Thank you for letting Connie and I be away. To her this May, I've now learned to talk again quite well. And she wishes I would hush. But we had a wonderful time. And I thank you for that big time, very much so. Good to be in the house of the Lord. As we continue in our service, I want us just to pray right now. But three simple words. Thank you, God. You know, I tried to think in preparing for today, what could list, every one of us in this room could list volumes of what we're thankful for. But folks, just to say thank you, God, and let it be from our hearts. So that's what I want us to do this morning. And then we're going to continue to sing. And that's our prayer. And I want you to verbally say that in just a minute, where all of our church family comes together right where you're sitting, and we just simply say the words, thank you, God. You can whisper it. You can speak it audibly, loudly, however you want to do that. But make sure what comes out of your mouth is not silence. I'm not talking about silent prayer here. I'm just talking about let's utter the physical, audible words to God. Thank you, God. And let that encompass, wow. Folks, we got our health. We can smell, we can see, we can touch. Most of us are moving okay, you know. We've got our pains and our aches and our all that, but folks, we're breathing, you know. We're God's new creatures. And to me, that's exciting, folks, to be alive. We need just simply to say, thank you, God. You pray with me? Let's pray right now. Our prayer is going to be short, sweet, and to the point, folks. I want you to say with me those three words. But I want you to take just about 30 seconds of silence, and then I'll speak those words, and then I want you to speak them with me. The words, thank you, God. But just be silent right now. Think of thanking God. Grateful praise. Say those words with me right now. Thank you, God. Amen and amen.
When you think of everything that God has done for us and you utter those words, thank you, God, you can also think, how is there any way you can keep from singing His praise, everything that He does, everything that He gives you, life and breath, a church family who loves you, a family who loves you, everything that He gives to us. And we say, thank you, God. And how can I possibly keep from singing your praise? And we know that one day we're going to sing with the angels around the throne. Let's join together this morning as we sing that to Him.
There is an endless song. troubled times. Sing when I win, I can sing when I lose myself and I fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up, sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer.
Deacon ballots, you can place those in the offering plates as they come by as well. Let's pray. Father, what a great time of season to be thankful. Father, I thank you for leading people to have a season of thanksgiving. Lord, to slow down in the daily rush of activities and have a day set aside just to be thankful. A day set aside to be with family and friends. And a day to reflect on the good things you've given us. Father, it says in your word in James that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Lord, it also says in your word in the book of Matthew that as we as earthly parents know how to give good things to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to us? Father, you've given us life. You've given us each other. You've given us a building to meet for the very reason to worship you. Father, you've given us the ability to breathe, the ability to make money. And Father, in this portion of our service, Father, I pray that we would give generously, not out of a prodding or guilt or anything, Lord, but just out of a generous, joyful heart as a small token of thanksgiving to what you've done in our lives. Father, I pray that as these monies that we give and the ballots that we place in the box, I pray that you use to your service. I pray for these men on the ballots. I pray for Alan Bell, for Lonnie Ingram, for Jose Hernandez, and for Miguel Palma. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up the ones that you desire to be deacons. And I pray for the rest of the deacon body, whether active or inactive, Lord. Thank you for calling those men to do service in your church. Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift you've given to us. May this part of our service be a token of thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we begin this morning, we ask that you join with us. This is not just a choir singing to you or for you about our grateful praise. This is a time for you to join with us. There will be times when we would ask for you to sing with us, and the words will be on the screen for you. And there's also a time a little bit later when the choir will be doing another responsive reading. We'd ask for you to bring your offering, your canned goods to help those who don't have as much as us. And you can come and place them anywhere on the altar during that time. Watch, and Clay and Danny know when they're going to come, or Danny knows when he's going to come, and bring his cans. So watch for that moment and that time when you can bring your offering forward. And let's just offer up our thanksgiving to God now.
Share with you this morning as part of our grateful praise musical presentation. You see, I believe in my heart all of these words that I'm about to share with you will make up what I believe Thanksgiving ought to be. The first of these words is the word praise. I want you to listen to Psalm 96, the first six verses. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people," that's little g now, "all the gods of the people are idols. But Yahweh the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." The 96th Psalm tells you and me how to praise the Lord. That word praise, you've heard me talk about it before. It's from the word in the Hebrew, hallel, which means thanksgiving, which means to praise. The Greek equivalent of that word we pronounced, hallelujah. And every time you say hallelujah, you're saying the words, praise the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something about praise. That word literally means to make Jesus shine. That's how you and I praise the Lord. It's not about us. It's about God. And when we praise God, both in this sanctuary and outside to our people that we come in contact with every day of our lives, our goal in praising the Lord from the depths of our heart is to make Jesus shine. It gives us the inexpressible way to express our gratitude to God and His saving power for what He did for you and me through Jesus Christ our Lord, the begotten, only begotten Son of God. So our grateful praise, yes. This Thanksgiving, don't forget, praise the Lord. Make Jesus shine. Amen and amen.
September 16, 1620, a small ship sailed with 101 passengers from Plymouth, England to the New World. They sought one thing, freedom to worship. 66 days later, through stormy seas, illness, and even death, all but two of these passengers reached the tip of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Before going ashore, the men on board signed a written agreement, a document called the Mayflower Compact.
In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony, do by these present, solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together.
Unprepared for the harsh wilderness. Within a few months, half of the pilgrims had died. Perhaps it seemed their voyage had been in vain, and their quest for a new life brought them only hardship.
Yet with the help of the natives, the settlers learned to plant and grow crops. By the fall of 1621, they celebrated their first harvest with a feast, proclaiming it a day of prayer and thanksgiving to God.
Thank you.
Not only must there be praise, there has to be thanksgiving. To be thankful, to be truly thankful, you and I as believers must learn to express that gratitude through the way we live our lives every single day. God's word in Psalm 95, the first four verses. I love what it says. Listen. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with the psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The height of the hills are his also. As a child, I remember getting up on Christmas morning, and what a surprise and amazement was in the eyes of that little boy, Randy Cheek. I was so grateful for what I received for Christmas. I remember running and hugging both my mother and my dad. And as I've gotten older, I realize how fortunate I was to have the Christian parents that I did growing up in the 50s. And the 60s. But my mother and dad taught me many things, but they taught me how to be grateful. Folks don't use those words, thank you, any longer. It seems so many have never been taught to simply say, even adults, thank you. We live in a society that are filled with those who believe the world owes them something, and to express that gratitude for this life alone is vanishing from our vocabulary. Folks, let me ask you something. At this Thanksgiving season, don't you think it's time we learn to say thank you to one another like never, never before? And saying it constantly. During my ministry days in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I remember the countless numbers of times I went to Memorial Hospital to visit folks from Brainerd Baptist, where I was on staff. Memorial was a Catholic hospital in Chattanooga, and sitting next to each elevator on the floors was a black sign inscribed with white letters, these words, "Have you said thank you, God, today?" You couldn't help but the many times you're in Memorial Hospital to see those words, and they began to be ingrained in your heart because it was a lifestyle, and it must be a lifestyle if we're going to live a life of our grateful praise, as the choir and we are just singing. That praise must first go to God. We must learn from that praise to say, thank you, God. Like never before, much as we prayed those simple words, and in saying it constantly to the Lord from our hearts, you know what? It may just become a habit, like seeing those little signs right there on the right and left sides of the elevator. Have you said thank you, God, today? Have you told someone in this congregation this morning, thank you for just being here? And let me be the first. I thank God for you and for your love and support for Connie, for me, and for Bethany. It is a joy to serve as your pastor. And I thank God that we have this home, as a family does. It has been for me for many, many years, and I'm one of the fortunate ones to come back 30-plus years later and be your pastor. What an honor God has given me. What a blessing and honor it is to serve you. So from my lips and my heart, and I know I speak for Connie and Bethany, thank you. Thank you. Amen and amen. Thank you.
And now we, as the pilgrims before us, celebrate freedom and abundant blessings from our Heavenly Father. So let us join together and bring an offering of praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
To Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights.
The sun to govern the day.
And the moon and stars to govern the night.
Who gives food to every creature.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
Praise. There must be thanksgiving, but there's got to be one other word: proclamation. Proclamation. If we are to be thankful to God in this 21st century as believers, why is it that so much of the Christian life outside the church has become silent? We appear oftentimes, and I'm as guilty of all of us in this room, as interpreting the great commission of go tell to don't offend anyone anymore. Folks, believers have been quiet long enough. We not only have allowed God to be taken out of the public life, we've managed to keep silent enough where Christmas is no longer Christmas anymore. Our city, our state, our county, our state, and our federal government are now devoid of mentioning the name of Christ or any relation to Jesus Christ and what He stands for on this earth. Why? Because the people outside of the believer's world say it is offensive to those. Ladies and gentlemen, the last time I read this book right here, it was offensive. When you read the Word of God, the precepts of God ought to cut you to the center of your heart. Talking about being offensive. It ought to bring us to our knees. We ought to be offended. And it's time for Christian people, believers, true believers in this world, to say enough is enough. We're going to take a stand. It is not a holiday. It is not a winter break. It's Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus. That's what we have to proclaim. But you know why we can proclaim that? Listen to Psalm 103. I love this. Verses 11 through 14. For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And listen to this one. This will revolutionize your life. As far as the east is from the west, so far he, the Lord, has removed our sin, our transgression from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Wow. He remembers I'm dust. He remembers I'm nothing without what Jesus did for me on the cross. I have no more authority or rule from the standpoint of being worthy than you to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's given me that honor and he's called me to that privilege, ladies and gentlemen, because he separated Randy Cheek's sin as far as the east is from the west. And there's so many Christians living such defeated lives because they're living 30 years ago in the past and God has wiped the slate clean. That's what we ought to be grateful for. God took every sin you'd ever commit, everything you would ever do wrong that's in obedience or disobedience to him, and when you ask him intentionally to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, he saved you lock, stock, and barrel. When he came into your life, he gave you the Holy Spirit 100%. He gave you a new life. You are a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that's why we ought to be grateful. We don't have all the time in the world this Thanksgiving or Christmas season to tell everybody. I'm not saying throw it up in their face. I'm not saying be belligerent and haughty and all this and your nose stuck up in the air. I'm talking about being with extreme humility and saying to folks, Merry Christmas. And tell the people that you work with and see everywhere you go, live like the child of God every day of your life so people will see a difference in you. The stats are telling us you can't even tell the difference between someone who's a believer and someone who's not out on the streets. No wonder they think we're all crazy. It's time to speak up. It's time to be grateful. God has separated our sin as far as the east is from the west. This old dirty, filthy, ragged, messed up Randy Cheeks sin has been obliterated through the cross, through the blood of Jesus. Now, folks, that's shouting ground for Baptists. That's Thanksgiving ground, talking about our grateful praise. Wow. I went back to the lyrics of the music that you and the choir, we all just sang. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. In grateful devotion, our tribute we bring. We lay it before you. We kneel and adore you. We bless your holy name. Glad praises we sing. With voices united, our praises we offer. And gladly our songs of thanksgiving we raise. With you, Lord, beside us, your strong arm will guide us to you, our great Redeemer. Forever be praised. O Lord. May our prayer be, Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our hymn of grateful praise. And may every day of our life be a life lived of our life. That is our grateful praise. our life. Praise, thanksgiving, and proclamation. Tell it. Live it. Amen. And amen. Now, deacons and those who are going to be serving our supper, will you join me on these front rows? Because, folks, now we bring ourselves, literally. As these men are coming, I want you to listen to the Word of God and what it says for you and me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took that bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'You take and eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But then let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Folks, we come to the table. And we come with confession. This whole service has been an act of confession. And now through the supper, expressing this supper, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, what better way can we say thank you, God, than to promise him that we'll live a life of grateful praise where we go? Gentlemen, would you help us, and Clay and Henry, as we uncover we began to serve this meal together. As they are uncovering them, the elements, the disciples met in the upper room with Jesus just before he died, the Passover meal. And the host always sat in the center. It was in a reclining position. The tables were just a little, not real tall by any means. And there were different cups. It's called the Seder meal. It reminded them of the Passover. But Jesus now was going to take the Passover meal and transform it into something extraordinary. Because he took that cup after supper, literally after the meal, and he held it up to those people, to those disciples, and said, "This is my blood." He held that piece of bread, and he broke that bread, and he sent it to him. He said, "This is my body. As you eat this in remembrance of me." Our deacons are going to come now. Clay and Henry are going to serve these men these plates. And then Clay is going to pray after we get these men ready to serve their plates and ask God to bless this bread as we distribute it to you. And then you will join with me and we'll all eat together after everyone has received the bread. This is a holy moment, folks. And as you hold that little piece of bread, think of our grateful praise and then personalize it. Make it your grateful praise to God. Join with us as we begin and as we pray and ask God to bless this time, to bless this supper, and to bless this bread.
Father God, as we come to this season of Thanksgiving, what else can we give thanks for? There is nothing else before you, Father. Everything that we have, everything that we are, it's all because of you. So, Father, at this time, may we just say thank you, Lord, and may we just remember the price that you paid for each one of us, that you gave your body to be beaten and bruised and broken for each one of us. So, Lord, just pierce our hearts to understand each and every day how much you've done for us, and may we just live that out in a life of gratitude to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we offer this bread in our bodies as complete, total gratitude to you. We realize it's a symbol of your broken body, and we eat this bread together, and we do this till Jesus comes. Let's all eat together. The Bible says that after supper, Jesus took the fourth cup of the Seder meal. And it's called the cup of redemption in the Seder meal. These men were expecting to hear about the Passover. That's what the fourth cup represented in terms of their redemption from slavery and bondage. But Jesus picked it up and he said, "This is my blood, which will be shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me." Wow. He did it all for us, folks. Everything he did on that cross was for you and me. He now separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. Our deacons are coming now. We're going to serve you this cup. The Lord calls it the new covenant of my blood. Once again, a symbol representing the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and for me. And folks, don't ever forget, if you hold a globe up, if you go north, one day you will go south. Understand? If you go south, one day you will turn around and go north. That's just the direction. But if you go east, you will never go west. And if you go west, you will never go east. Do you see what the Lord was saying? I separate your sin as far as the east is from the west. Totally obliterated, totally gone, never to be remembered to you again, even at the judgment. Wow. We come to bless this cup in an act of thanksgiving, to thank God for coming to this earth through Jesus Christ and shedding his blood for me and you. Henry, pray for us, my brother.
Our Father, we come to you now, and we're thanking you most of all for the provision you gave to forgive us of our sin. The forgiveness of that sin is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We know that without the innocent blood, then there cannot be forgiveness of sin. Christ came and died, shed his blood for us. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, may we do that in the remembrance of him.
Jesus looked to his disciples and he said, "Drink this, all of it, in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Each time we celebrate and share the supper, I ask you to take these little cups home with you. Oftentimes they've reminded us to talk to someone about Jesus. But I want you to call this your little thank you cup and set it where you can wash it out, obviously, and set it where you can see it. And every time you see the cup this week, wherever you want to put it, just say thank you, Lord. Every time you see it, and make that your prayer this week. So it's our thank you cup. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bible says the Lord with his disciples after that meal shared in a hymn and then they went out. But the hymn was a hymn of thanksgiving. It was a hymn perhaps from the Hallel in the Psalms in terms of praise and thanksgiving. And this morning that's what I want us to do. Karen's going to come and lead us as we simply sing that little chorus together, give thanks. This is our invitation. This is a time of personal response. But folks, this whole service has been a time of personal response. If there's anything that Matthew and I can share with you, any of our deacons, or perhaps this morning you looked in the back on the back side of our bulletin and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and did not participate in the supper and it raised questions, we'd like to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you for any questions you may have about the observance of the ordinance, the law of the Lord's Supper. But let's make our final commitment as we stand together and as we sing that chorus, give thanks. Join Karen and the choir as we sing right now.